Are you hungry for the usual today? Or are you ready to spice things up with the new Nashville Hot Brisket from Firehouse Subs? We're kicking up our slow-smoked beef brisket with Nashville Hot Seasoning. It's topped with melted pepper jack and our sweet and tangy slaw, served piping hot on a toasted cornbread roll. Yeah, a cornbread roll. Save time. Order your new Nashville Hot Brisket on the Firehouse Subs app today. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations limited time only.
Welcome to Beyond Reason. A show for those who dare to have an open mind. Now here's your host, Justin Cancellari.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new Beyond Reason, the show for those who dare to have an open mind. I am your host, Justin Cancellari, and tonight I'm going to be bringing on another great guest. But first, I wanted to do a quick shout out to Brian Anderson, who has done my intro, helped me set up a great new recording system. So thank you, Brian, so much for doing that. Also, a quick shout out to all my listeners who show up every week to listen. I'm so thankful for all of you guys who listen to my show. Without you, I would not have one. So keep listening. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, share wherever you listen, and on social media as well for me. I would greatly appreciate it. So tonight I'm going to be bringing on Joe McQuillan. Joe has been married for 27 years and is a father of three children, one on the other side. Joe was the youngest of 10 children from an Irish Catholic family. Although Joe has had two successful careers, he is at heart a blue-collar kid from Buffalo, New York. Starting as a salesman, he spent 25 years in the automobile business and worked his way up to the executive manager and partner in a number of successful Chicago dealerships. After selling out in 2009, Joe began a second successful career as a mortgage broker and is currently with Chicago Financial Services. Among his many charitable associations, Joe sits on the board of In Balance Ranch Academy, a boarding school dedicated to helping troubled teens with addiction. Following the loss of his son, he began running a charity golf outing to benefit both In Balance Ranch and Penguin Players, a theater troupe of disabled young adults. Tonight we're going to be bringing him on to talk about his book, My Search for Christopher on the Other Side. He talks about an emotional roller coaster ride, discovering messages from his son Chris, who died too young, or according to Chris, at just the right time. This is a beautiful and touching story filled with grief and heartache, with just a touch of humor in all the right places. His story will illuminate your path to healing after a tragic loss and allow you a glimpse of the other side. Joe, welcome to Beyond Reason.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Now, the listeners don't really realize this, but I tried to have you on once before, and it just did not work out, so I'm finally able to get you back on, and I'm really happy to do that because you have a really amazing story to tell. So before we get started, tell us a little bit about your son and what happened.
Well, first of all, I'm kind of grateful for a do-over. You didn't know that, but I had the flu that day. And I had a radio recording downtown. I had a second phone recording. And then I was doing a book signing for 120 people that night. And I was vitamin C and Red Bulls. The only thing that got me through that one. So what happened was in Christmas of 2015, all the kids, my oldest son, Christopher, who was 21, they were all home for Christmas vacation. And the last weekend before they went back to school, we had a wonderful Christmas, by the way, just lots of fun and overindulging and bowling and shooting pool and hanging out. And so the last weekend, they decided to go up to a friend's lake house in Wisconsin. And, a dozen kids from high school that all came back from college and decided to kick up their heels a little bit and have a little fun. They were all going to have to go back to school the following Monday. So, they did. And, And, you know, about 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, my son and a couple of pals walked outside, three other boys, and passed the boathouse. And they were 21 and it had been partying, and it seemed like a great idea to jump in a four guys, jump in a three man canoe with Timberland boots and layered clothing. And, they all took their phones out so they wouldn't get wet and left them on the dock. And all four of them paddled out. None of them made it back. And, the next day I got a phone call that the boys were missing. And so I jumped in the Jeep and started heading up to, Wisconsin, about an hour and a half away. And halfway up, I got the call that it was no longer a rescue, but a recovery, since they considered all four boys, they had known that they all had drowned. And that's what started the search, and the search led to the book.
Now, when they went out onto the water, was it something where, like, the boat tipped and they couldn't get back up or to reach air, or what happened there?
Well, nobody survived, you know, Justin, so there's no way to know exactly what happened. I found out a few things from mediums and some from the police report and, you know, the coroner's report. So it appears that they were probably all just screwing around, and the boat tipped over, and the water was partially frozen and tepid, and I mean cold and frigid, and you know, nobody knows. They were only in about 10 feet of water, what happened, but I think layered clothing and heavy leather boots had a lot to do with it. And it appears that one or two of them tried to crawl up on the ice, but it kept breaking. And so, you know, none of them made it back. So exactly what happened, we don't know. But we know that alcohol, cold water, and layered clothing sure had had an effect on it.
Okay. So how long after he had passed did you start getting messages from him? Was it a year later? Was it sooner than that?
Yeah. You know, what happened was 16 years before this, I had gone to see a medium just to, I don't know whether it was a spiritual search or curiosity, but just to see. And her name's Nancy Meyer, and she's in Surprise, Arizona now. And Nancy, she's a good gal. So 15 years earlier, I went to a reading, and it was pretty mundane. You know, I didn't have any sense of urgency. My parents had died and some older brothers and such, but kind of in line with when they should. And so I was just trying to figure if this had any credibility or not. And what happened was, right at the end of the reading, she said, "Your dad's here, and he's showing me a caboose, and he's saying railroad." And all of a sudden, she got my attention. My dad spent 40 years on the railroad. All five of us boys worked on the railroad during college. I was a brakeman. My beloved Uncle Bill was a railroader. My father my grandfather on my mom's side was. So we were a railroad family. If you look over my shoulder, you'll see over my head is a railroad lantern up on my bookcase. And it kind of, that was just who we were. That was our culture, kind of that iron steel railed guys, you know? So, you know, that was who we were. So when she said that, all of a sudden I put some credibility in this whole thing, but I didn't need to pursue it anymore. I kind of filed that away. So 16 years later, when Chris crossed over, I reached out to that same medium, and she told me things that, you know, I didn't even have the coroner's report back yet. She told me things about that night that nobody knew except Chris and the boys, and he told her. So at that point, I knew we were onto something. And the whole thing, to be honest with you, you know, I'm a pretty solid fella. You know, I 25 years in the car business. I was a car dealer. I'm kind of hard to pull one over on. And so if this wasn't real, I just wanted to check it off the list, right? And if it was, I wanted to pursue it. So I figured, you know, if there's a place that my dad is, then there's a really good chance my son crossed over and is in the same place. So let's see what we can do to find him. And so I started pursuing her. I had a number of readings with her that, you know, a couple months after, and holding on with my fingernails to each time. And then I wanted to see somebody in person, a clairvoyant, you know, a medium in person who could look at my son. And I wanted to look at him looking at my son. So I look up a guy named Andrew Anderson, and went and saw him. And he was, turns out, on Bob Olson's website. And then after that, I read his book, Just in Coincidence, which was outstanding. And, you know, before I saw Andrew that day, I had, we buried him and he crossed over and drowned in January 3rd, 2016. So we buried him that day after my birthday, and or the day before my birthday on the 7th or 8th of January. And the ground was frozen. And so when the snow kind of melted in late winter, early spring, I saw that he was buried next to another couple's tombstones. So I was livid. I was angry that it looked like he was their kid, right? And me and my buddy had bought 6 plots when we were there just so that it was ours. And we would do things later on, and I keep 3 and he's keeping 3. So I called up and had him moved over one spot, you know, just and I'll occupy the spot he was in. So there's a little distance between him and his neighbors, you know, which is kind of funny. And so this is in June, and the ground, they finally had moved him over, and the ground was, you know, obviously it's nice and pleasant, and the ground was a lot of loose dirt. Mm-hmm. So I had ordered some shamrocks and was planting them that morning on the way to see Andrew. And I stopped at my dresser and picked up a leather bracelet he gave me when we were in Disney World. Yeah, when he was 4 or 5. It said Dad on it. And I buckled that on and put my sleeve over it and headed up and planted shamrocks and talked to him at the grave, which I do all the time, and headed up to see Andrew. We walked in. First thing Andrew said was, you know, Chris appreciates that you guys celebrated his birthday, which was April 15th, the way you always did, which we did. My wife and I and the 2 kids went to Ron in Japan to celebrate Chris's birthday. And then we released some Chinese lantern. And he said, he acknowledges you released a lantern on his birthday. So it's like, what? He said, Chris acknowledges that you planted something at his grave this morning. And he acknowledges that you're wearing his bracelet. Now, we're 5 minutes into this, Justin. 5 minutes. And this guy just, he didn't know me from Adam. You know, he didn't know it was Joe McQuillan from Winnetka. He knew it was just Joe, right? Mm-hmm. And no details of anything. And I am so far beyond wondering if somebody's looking up my information, because I'm not that famous, you know, to find out stuff about me. So, you know, 15 minutes in, he's just nailing me with stuff. And so I literally said, like, buckle up. This stuff is for real, you know? So I continued to see mediums, saw him, saw Thomas John, saw Rebecca Rosen, saw a good gal around here, Sherry Jewell. And each one came through, Chris came through, you know, amazingly. And on the anniversary, the first anniversary of his crossing, so January 3rd, 2017, I had gotten kind of used to every once in a while getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, going into my office, which was his bedroom as a kid, and lighting sage and meditating and lining my chakra. I picked up a chart from Andrew. You know, I didn't know any of this stuff. And but it was going to give me a better chance to get a hold of my kid. I was in, right? I was going to take every angle I could to reach my kid. And on that night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I get up, and all of a sudden, I get a message from him, and it's like, "Hey, Dad, you're not going to believe this. This place is amazing. You know, it's warm. It's the breeze is always warm. It's like love. It's a love air." Not just air. And, you know, it's like a warm beach at night. You're going to love it. And it was like, wow, you know, I'm writing this down and I'm not sure what the heck's going on. But I read about 3 pages and then he says, you know, gotta take off and talk to you later. And so I'm thinking, okay, is the old man losing it here? you know, but one thing he told me, Justin, that really confirmed for me that it wasn't me was that he said to me, you know, Dad, Scotty loved me and I loved him. We were friends. He said, he was just being him. You got to let go of that. Now, what happened was the kid's family who owned the lake house was Scotty, right? He was the kid. And I was holding a resentment. You know, why didn't they protect the kids? Well, the truth of the matter is they're 21-year-old kids. It could have happened at my house, could have happened anywhere.
Right.
But I'm Irish. I want a grudge if I can hold a good one for a while. And so I was prepared to take this grudge with me for a while. And he gave me this message. So, you know, I adored him and I said, sure, Chris, anything for you.
you know.
Besides, I'm thinking to myself, when am I ever going to see him again, right? This kid, right? Fast forward 12 hours, and I get a text from a couple of his college friends who said, Mr. McHugh, we're going to be at the grave at 2:30. You want to join us? And we were all, Sally and I were planning on going to the grave just to, you know, surround ourselves and acknowledge and celebrate his life. So I showed up, and there was about 7-8 kids, then 8 or 10 more kids. There were 40 kids eventually at my kid's grave. Wow. On the anniversary. I bring out the hockey cooler that was in the car with cold beer, except, you know, cigars, and the kids, and we just celebrated. And we do that every year now, by the way, and it's always 30, 40 kids. And there I'm walking through the crowd, and there's Scotty crying his eyes out, you know. So I was able to embrace him and say, you know, tell him I love him, and, you know, and tell him that Chris loved him. Now, without Chris's warning, I couldn't have done that. You know, I don't know exactly what I would have done, but I had 12 hours to make peace with that. So not only did I know that my son is doing that and looking out for me still, but I know that it's real because this didn't start with me. That wasn't something I would have, you know, come up with, you know. So, you know, he's with me all the time. I was just in Sedona and we took some great pictures. And one of them was with me holding up, it was just me and a guide holding up the sun as it was setting. And there's a blue orb, the same color as the eye that I have. He sends me cardinals, and I have a blue eye on the cardinal, right?
Okay.
Because he had a blue-green. He was so beautiful. He's got eyes with these beautiful green with some blue in it. And the orb's the same color as that. So, you know, he's around me all the time, and he still keeps knocking me off my horse, you know, and dazzling me. So, you know, two nights ago, he came for a visit and sent me some great messages, and we communicate, and I still continue to go to mediums, and I continue to research, and I'm writing a second book, and that's my story. I'm sticking to it, you know?
So, I know you guys are Irish, but was there a significance to the shamrocks at his grave, or
yeah,
was it just because you guys had that heritage?
Nah, you know what? We're clannish people. You know, I'm the youngest of 10 kids, And so, you know, his grave has a Celtic cross on his gravestone on one side. Okay. And the Buffalo logo of the Buffalo Bills, which was where my hometown team, and he was a huge Bills fan, on the bottom. So being Irish was real important to him. When he graduated from Imbalance Ranch, that I just came back from and spoke to 35 boys there. When he graduated from there, he had the McQuillan family crest tattooed on his forearm, on his shoulder.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, Irish was important, family was important, and being a McQuillan was important to him.
That's awesome. So, before he had passed away, you said about 15, 16 years before he passed away, you had visited a medium who you eventually went back to. Had you really put a whole lot of thought or belief into mediums prior to that, or was it just kind of a parlor trick type thing to you?
It was a whim. It was a little more than a parlor trick. I was curious, but it didn't have a whole lot of impact. To me, it was like going to Library of Congress and touring it. You know, like I believed in it. So let me see what this is all about. But that was it. I wasn't heavily preoccupied by it. I didn't think about it later on. It wasn't something that became part of my psyche or my life. It was, you know, one of those things, you know, some people, you know, take a tour of the Vatican. I just wanted to check this out. And it confirmed that it was legit. But that was all there was to it. It wasn't a big part of my everyday, believe me.
So how long after he had passed that you started getting messages just without the mediums, just him talking to you?
Exactly 1 year.
Exactly.
That was the first night. That night they told me about Scotty was January 3rd, 2017 at 3 o'clock in the morning. And it was a year from after his crossing. So it was 1 year that he started coming through, and he still does. You know, he came through to me the other day. You know, he left me a great, he told me a great message. He said, tell everyone those moments matter. You know, remember old Scottsdale. I do. Such a feeling of love and safety. Thanks, Pop. Every moment is collected and relived in energy, and I feel it's around me. I relive it too, Pop. Tell everyone that those moments matter. We wrap ourselves, meaning the other side. We wrap the happy moments around us like a blanket, a soft, warm blanket of those experiences, those moments. So, you know, I think what he was telling me to tell you and your people, you know, enjoy this moment, right? This is it. Rumi said that, right? You know, this moment is your life, you know? And so, you know, that's what he's still guiding me, this kid, you know, 3 years later, you know?
Well, and I think that's a really good message, because too many people worry about the burden of the future or the mistakes of the past. We don't live for today as we should, because who knows, today is all we have. So
when you've been through something like this, it gives you an awareness of that.
Yeah.
You know, that this moment I got with you right now, we don't get this back, right? The moment we had in December is different than this moment, right? And I like this moment better. I'm really grateful that your phone didn't record, right?
Yeah.
I'm more present. I'm healthier. I'm happier to be doing this. You know, so, you know, who knows? You know, maybe Chris had his hand in deleting your tape. I don't know. But I'd much rather you and I talk about it now, you know, than we were talking about before.
Yeah. So what else has Chris kind of come across talking to you? I know he helped you write this first book, and he's helping with the second one. I know you know you said that he had said that the afterlife is a place of pure love, but has he just kind of dropped different things on you throughout the years now?
Yeah, he does. And remember, people say this isn't a two-way conversation. He's with me all the time. I feel him. I feel him specifically with me in here, right? This was his room, and I can feel a chill when he's around. I feel him now. I certainly felt him in Sedona when I was in the, you know, vortex, you know, but but that's no big shakes, because he's around me all the time. He's always with me in my Jeep, listening to music. He's always with me at the grave. And you got to understand, me going to the grave is not, you know, tell your listeners, this isn't like some old man in the park feeding pigeons, you know? It's not some lonely thing. I'll be going over there because I'd been out of town. And it had been really crappy here, you know, raining, and now it's decent. So when I'm done with this, you know, I raced home from the office to talk to you, and I'll grab the dog and a jacket, and I got a folding chair in the Jeep and a cigar. I'll go sit at the grave and talk to him. The energy's good there. You know, I saw Thomas John a couple years ago, one-on-one. And he said, "Hey, do you go to the grave all the time?" I said, "Yeah." He's like, "Were you there, like, just recently?" I said, "Yeah, yesterday." He said, "I tell most people who tell me that, don't do that. Don't go there." He said, "But I'm telling you, go there, you know, because the energy's there. You know that he travels with you there. Mm-hmm. You know, the energy is great there for you. So you guys communicate well. So I encourage you to continue to do that your entire life." Until, you know, so that's the kind of thing. I go to the grave and we chat it up and I feel him, you know, so I feel him everywhere, you know, but what I have to do is set myself up to get a message from him, right? The messages for him, I like, you know, when I, and I do the same thing. I write him down as he says it. And I write him down as he says it. When I'm done, and he'll tell me when it's over, he'll say, "Pulling back, Pop," or "Gotta go, Pop," or something. Then I'll immediately get a fine point pen and go over and write, because I'm doing this in the dark. I've got candlelight, you know, I'm listening to meditation music, and then I go through all this and make sure it's legible. Then I date it and I put it in a file. You know, so when I'm writing the book, sometimes I'm reading stuff I hadn't picked up, seen in a year, and going, "Wow, that's really cool. You know, I didn't remember that. That was great." But he's dictating. We're not having a two-way conversation. You know, he's telling me things that I'm writing down. He's giving me messages. Maybe someday we'll do it two-way. Maybe someday I'll see him like I see you. But right now it's all audible and it's all legible. It's not automatic writing. I thought it was. I was almost done with the book, and I'd called it automatic writing through the whole damn thing, and I didn't know. I'm reading Bob Olson's book, and he's saying, "Well, automatic writing is you go into a trance, you write in somebody else's handwriting, you have no idea what you wrote." And I'm going, "Well, that's not me." Then I read what Bob Olson called channel writing or spirit writing. So I had to go back. It was a Word document, thank goodness. And everywhere that I put automatic writing, I had to, you know, delete it and put channel writing or spirit writing, because that's what it is. And so I've been told we're going to continue to do this, you know, forever until I cross, you know. And I also am trying to see him. I'm working hard to try to see him through meditation. It hasn't happened. And maybe it won't, you know, but the thing is, I've gotten this gift that's beyond my wildest dreams that, you know, everybody's has accessible to, but I got, right? It's kind of like throwing to the left a curveball. Can't throw a curveball to save my life. I spent a lot of my youth playing baseball. Couldn't throw a curveball. There's guys who could throw curveballs that drop off the plate, right? It's like, oh, my gosh, right? We all got the same makeup in our arm. Some people just have the skill, and then they work on it. So I've been given this gift, and I work on it. And the reason I do things like talk to guys like you and you know, race home in the middle of my day so I don't miss it and write this book is because I've been given this gift, and I believe you got to give it away to keep it. You know, I have this fear, right? I same reason I write with the same pen that I always write. I always write with Vic Velocity pens and Staples legal pads because it worked the first time. I'm not screwing with it, you know? So I do it every single time, you know? And I believe if I don't give it away, you know, maybe it doesn't keep coming to me. So I'm not taking a chance, you know? A woman, I did a thing for helping parents heal online. And I said to him, if anybody wants a book, you know, these are all parents who lost kids. Reach out. Here's my email. Send me an email. I'll send you a book. You know, I mean, I don't care about, you know, I want you to heal, right? That's my, if you heal, better things will happen for me. So when I'm done here, I inscribe this book and I got a couple other books that I'll take to the post office tomorrow and get them to them, you know? And the exposure and the healing makes my son proud. So I'm good.
I think that's really admirable of you to not just talk to people who have lost, but also just giving the book away because, I mean, I think any author that is out there right now will tell you they're not in it to get rich. They're in it to get the information out there.
Yeah.
Because the world is so saturated right now with books and authors because it's become so much easier to become an author with self-publishing and everything. I think that a lot of people get lost in the fold, but for somebody like you who is not only helping people through like an online chat or online video, but also to give the books away so that they can see your story as well is just amazing to me. Now,
the feedback that I've been getting, Justin, from people who've lost books said, man, you know, you gave me hope. I thought it was over, right? You know, dude, I'd rather have that than the $15 for the book. You know, I'd rather have the feedback, right? Give me a little karma. I'm happy.
Yeah. So looking back, did you ever think that you would have these abilities to talk to your son? I mean, obviously you didn't want him to pass before yourself, but did you ever expect to be having these abilities to talk to him after he passed?
No, I didn't expect to write a book. I got to tell you, I started on this journey because I missed him and loved him so much. But I just hoped there was a way to connect with him. I adored this kid. This kid and I are you know, we were very similar. We were both handfuls. I was, you know, he was a handful as a kid, and I was a bad kid. You know, I'm 33 years sober. I'm a pretty good guy now, but I'm trying to make up for being a bad kid, I think, you know? And so that's why it was so great. I got to talk to these 35 kids who you know, they're at Imbalance Ranch and they're there for addiction and some discipline and mostly just to save themselves. And it's a ranch in Huachuca, Arizona, run by Patrick and Betsy Barrasso. And it's based on recovery, 12 steps recovery. So I went out there and spoke to them. And it was, you know what, there was these kids with their arms folded and leaning back and acting hip. And by the end of the talk, and I dragged it out of them, I made them get involved. By the end of the talk, they were coming up, hugging, sharing their experiences, saying best talk they ever heard. You know, dude, that's my pay. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have to reimburse me for the airline flight. I just got paid, you know. I had a kid come up crying in my arms, right? Friggin' A, you know, I'm good. So yeah. I was taking these notes from mediums so that someday, Justin, I'd be sitting on a porch smoking a cigar in a rocking chair. I'd pull these things out. I got to tell you, I still got home videos, right, from the time he was born that I haven't looked at yet. They're still on Hi8, right? They don't even make them anymore.
Right.
But I can play them in the player, and I've got them and set up. I haven't been able to watch them yet, and I will, you know, someday. But I knew that someday I'd review these notes, right? And then a year, so I started seeing mediums right away. And a year after that, so about April of 17, Christopher or Sally's brother, Ricky, was over, and they were talking about how Christopher used to play hide and seek, tenacious. And he was a tenacious kid. And I think he gets that from his mom's side. But he, you know, he'd play hide and seek. He'd hide. You'd find him. He goes, hide again. And he'd take off and hide in a closet under a basket. Hide again, you know. And so I heard her telling the story up from the stairs. And I walked downstairs, said hello, and then came up and sat down and said, wow, you know, he's just like he played hide and seek. I went to find him and found joy in finding him. I want to find him on the other side, you know. So I started writing the book that day. You know, I started writing the book, and I started it in about April of 17. I finished by June of 18. Lisa Hagen, who's like an angel to me, has got her arms around it, and Chris got her arms around her, and she published it. And you know, it's and Sarah's done this amazing job at PR, and we're on this journey together. You know, these guys are vested in this thing because this is going to be, I'm telling you, Justin, this is going to be movement. You know, this is going to be like conversations with God, you know, except for people who lost somebody. It doesn't have to be a kid, but lost somebody. You know, it's not that everybody should read this book, but I got to tell you, what it really is for somebody who's got a hole in their heart, you know, and don't know what to do. And it's kind of a how to, you know, I keep a book around called Communicating with Spirits, you know? So I started researching, right? I want to figure out how to do this. I'm online, you know? I went to Sedona after I went to Phoenix, then played golf in Tucson. Then we went to the fundraiser in Tucson. They asked me to speak, which was lovely. Then I drove down to the ranch an hour and a half south, right by Tombstone. And we went to Tombstone, by the way. I bought a couple of badges. It was cool. And I talked to the boys. Then I went back to Tucson to have dinner with a musician friend of Christopher's, then up to Phoenix, then to Sedona, right? So, but I'm going to Sedona for a day and a half, and I'm online research, and I get a good deal at a hotel, right? I find out a good place. Who can I hire to do a tour? I want a one-on-one. I don't want them dressed like Australian outback tours with the great, you know, I want somebody legit, right? So I got a woman named Crystal Starweaver. She was legit. She was the real deal. So I did this. So I'm online researching a place I'm going to be for a day and a half, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't everybody in your audience researching the other side? Because we're all going, bro. All of us are going on that bus, right? Every single one.
Right.
And me, I don't want to be surprised. Christopher says to me, Dad, it's going to be less of a learning curve for you because of what I'm telling you. He said, me, I was a little surprised, you know? It's all different. It's all weird. And it's fabulous. But you're going to be prepared for it much more than I was, right? And what he tells me is that what we're doing here is boot camp, right? What we're doing here is, anybody played football when they were high school? You go to 3-a-day practices, and it was grueling, you know? But it was also bonding and fun and wonderful and challenging, which is this side, this life. He said the other side's like a beach bungalow in Maui. You know, it's wonderful. And it's everybody's other side is what they want it to be. Right? So, you know, mine's going to be with him. So, dude, sign me up, you know?
Now, has he had to help others transition after they've passed?
That's a great question. So his job is helping kids. His job is helping young people cross over. That's it. They all got jobs, right? Everybody's got a job. You move up in levels. And I asked him about levels. He said, don't worry. It's kind of like me calling you from Arizona or California. It doesn't matter what level. It's just long distance. So you're in my connection isn't going to, you know, get screwed up with me getting higher levels. But they all have jobs, and his job is, he's always great with kids. The kids adore him. You know, it's like a Pied Piper. And so his job is, we've been told by 3 or 4, like, star-level Thomas John and Rebecca Rosen. These people are all stars, you know. They're like Mickey Mantle and Roger Maron. Right. And so they've told us that that's what he does on that side. My sister transitioned a month and a half ago. She passed away from cancer. And he said to me, and this is kind of the cool stuff that you get. It's not like the same stuff over and over. He said, look, he said, I was here because he'd promised her and promised me that he'd be here the moment she took a step over. He said, I was there. So was Jerry, Billy, Bobby, you know, Pat, which are her siblings, my sisters and brothers. And he said, but then she had to go because to heal because she had been traumatized by cancer. He said, even though she left her body, there was trauma in her soul. So she had to go, think of it like as a spa. You know, she had to go somewhere to heal before she could come back, you know, come join us again. He said, she came back and, you know, he said, for you to recognize her would be like her back when I was a kid and she'd ride me around on her bike. He said, you know, she's wonderful. He said, the angels, I was like, she goes, everybody loves Marcia up here, over here. He didn't say up, he said over. He said, angels even love her because she's so much like them. And he said, I'm not kidding. You know, so, you know, those are the kind of things like I never thought of that. I wouldn't think, I didn't know right. they had to go to, I didn't know they had to go to a metaphysical mass unit, to heal the trauma, but it makes right. sense, doesn't it? Her body had been wrecked with cancer for 2 years and she'd been fighting. She needed to heal before she could join the other kids on the playground, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting to hear that the physical can affect our spirit. And I'm sorry to hear that she had passed. It's
I'm grateful that she had passed.
Well, obviously, yeah, because I'm sure the cancer had eaten away at her, and it's not easy. I mean, even when you're expecting them to pass or even wishing that they would pass so that they're not in pain anymore,
right.
it's still a hard thing. But
thank you.
It's interesting that it affected her on a spiritual level, but I'm sure any type of trauma, whether that be something like a severe illness, murder, suicide, anything where the death is a very traumatic thing, it would have the same effect.
You know what? It's funny because this is the first time I've thought of this in 3 years. Nancine, the very first medium, a couple months after we were talking, and she said, look, all four boys are made it over. You know, they don't hang out a lot, but all four boys made it. One had a harder time crossing over because he was a little freaked out. You know, so it took a little more time. So it was exactly, I think it's in one of those chambers where they just make you feel better and ease it out and let you run, you know. So it's the exact same story from entirely different sources, you know, that
right.
you know, one boy was a little, and I actually don't even think I put that in the book because I didn't want any of the parents worrying that one of their boys didn't cross as smoothly as the other three. So I kind of deleted that.
Well, I mean, yeah, you don't want to hurt them any more than they have already been. So
right.
I think that's
and they already are every single day. They already are, you know.
Yeah.
Your heart never gets better. You know, it never heals. You know, you basically just have better tools to learn how to cope. But the broken heart's the same thing. There's a poet philosopher named John O'Donohue. And he wrote a poem on grief, and it's in his Book of Blessings called Benedictus. And if anybody has an opportunity, just go ahead and look at that. And his description of grief and what that is, you know, is so spot on. And unless you've experienced it, you don't understand what it's like to wake up, kind of like an amputee, I would guess. That in the morning you wake up and you forget that you lost your arm, you know, and then the reality hits. Well, that's what happens when you lost a kid. You wake up and it's not on your mind. So you wake up and you go, well, I hope Chris is in bed, or I hope, you know, Chris's car is in the driveway. And you go, shit, you know, heck, he's gone. You know what I mean? He's on the other side, you know? So that's the kind of stuff that just never goes away ever.
Right. Well, and I mean, you're one of the lucky few that still get to hear him after he is passed.
And they all can, Justin. You know, people say to me, you know, I've been trying to reach my brother and I haven't been able to connect with him. And I'd say, try harder. You know, I'm doing a bunch and I'm just breaking the surface, bro. But I'm doing, you know, all the chakras, the sage, the meditation, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I just went to Sedona, you know, try right. to hit that vortex to see if that where the veil is thin between the two worlds. I'm going to Lilydale this summer. You know, I'm doing everything I can to promote this So you can't sit on your butt and say, "Whoa, you know, my brother Phil never came through. What have you done? You know, show me the evidence of the hard work you've done." Because I guarantee if you do the work, you'll get to connect. Right. You know, I think.
Well, when I first started doing paranormal podcasting, I was doing paranormal investigations, and I had gone through the process of starting to open myself up. And, you know, I haven't gotten to the point where I can connect with people as much as I'd want to or hear their voices. A lot of times I can just feel when somebody's around and usually can tell if who it is.
That's pretty advanced. That's pretty out there. That's good.
Yeah. But a couple years ago, actually like 5 years ago, I was going through a hard point in my life. And my grandfather, who had passed several years prior, I was just driving along and I heard him say to me, "You know, don't worry, kiddo, everything's going to be okay." And it validated me to the point of knowing that it was him just because he called me kiddo, because it was always kid or kiddo when we would come and see him and everything. So, you know, a lot of people that I talk to that are either sensitives or psychics will say, you know, everybody can do this, but it's like being a pianist. It's, you know, everybody can play the piano, but it's up to that person to practice in order to get good at it. Right. And I mean, there are those natural people that can do music or have the sensitivity or whatever. But I think, you know, as kids, we all have it, but we grow out of it because we're taught that magic isn't real. And we're taught that Santa Claus isn't real. The afterlife is just a place you go after death. You know, there's no coming back. And, you know, doing the research for however many years now, because I was actually into this way before I started doing podcasting and paranormal investigation. I think that all religions have it wrong. That, you know, a lot of people want to concentrate on this one specific area, and that's fine, but they don't want to have that openness to realize that maybe we don't have it all right. And even if we combined all these religions together, I don't think we would have it all right because we have human brains.
You know, he tells me all the time, Chris will tell me all the time, he'll explain something to me and say, "Well, you're not really going to get it until you cross over." You know, he's nice enough to say, "You're not really going to get it, knucklehead, until you cross over." But it's that there are things that we don't know, that we're not supposed to know, that, you know, that there are more things in heaven and earth than thought of in your world, Horatio. You know what I mean? That was, you know, for Shakespeare to say that, you know, or how about Rumi? Rumi says, "Goodbyes are for those who love with their eyes, because those who love with their heart and soul, there's no such thing as separation." Rumi said that in the 13th century, right? 13th century. So, you know, I giggle when somebody says, "Oh, you're into that new age stuff." I go, "Yeah, it's really new. You know, it's, you know, 13th century sport." You know what I mean? So I kind of laugh it off. And the bottom line is, somebody did an interview with me on a Seattle radio, and she was terrific. And she said, "What do you tell people that just don't buy it?" I said, "Change channel." You know what I mean? If this is going to help you find something, fill that hole in your soul, do it. You know, reach out, look, contact me, read other books, find some places, go to Sedona, for criminy's sakes. Do whatever you got to do. But if this isn't your thing, then move on. I'm okay with, you know, so what? You know, I'm not converting you. I'm not getting points for signing. This isn't, you know, vacation club. I don't get points for signing you.
Now, if anybody took anything from this book and your experiences, what would you want them to take from it?
That it's not, you know, Susan Geisman wrote a wonderful book called Still Right Here, right? She lost a daughter, and this woman was on the Joint Chiefs staff. She was a commander in the Navy, and she lost a daughter who started communicating with her. She resigned her commission, tours the world talking about this stuff. And she's a medium herself. I'm not. You know, I don't want to be. You know, I'm told, boy, are you open? And mediums say, you have this gift. It's like, look, I just want to communicate with my kid.
You know,
I don't want to. I don't want to talk to your uncle. You know, your grandfather. You talk to your grandfather. I want to talk to Chris. You know, I'm a little more. You know, but you know, she wrote a couple amazing books, and that's the message. And I sign that in the book when I send it to people. Sometimes it's like, you know, remember they're still right here. I mean, they're. If you lost a kid, your heart is friggin' broken, and your throat's in your stomach. But all you got to do is open up and look, because they're right there. And it's nowhere near as good, Justin. I'd rather have Chris walk in the door and say, hey, Pop, can we order pizza? You know, can I have $100 to go to the Cubs game? Yeah, I'd rather have that than this knowledge that I've been given. I'd rather have been abysmally ignorant. But what happened, happened, and we can't change that. So what am I going to do now? You know, and this is what I'm doing, right? So the answer to that wonderfully poignant question is, what do I want people to get from this book? That they're still right here. Do the work, man. Seek them out. You know, they'll connect with you. They're dying to connect. They really want to connect. It's a bad phrase, you know. They really want to connect with you. You know, they want to, you know, connect with their mom and dad spirit, and they're fine. They're good as gold, right? Whatever was going on before isn't going. You know, if they had a disease on this side, it's gone. But their spirit's happy, wholesome, but they want to talk to them. And Chris actually said to me, despite what mediums say, I do miss you. He said, now I understand what they're saying, because it's so wonderful here that we're ecstatic and I'm around you and I can see you and feel you all the time. But I don't get to touch you in the flesh and you don't kiss me on the head, and I miss that. So that, you know, that was kind of went against what I've been told by, you know, meetings. Oh, they don't miss us because it's so perfect and they get to see us. Well, the truth of the matter is, my boy tells me he misses us because he misses the physical contact, you know, so I'm going to go with him.
So last question I've got for you, and it's probably a complicated one, but, you know, the concept of heaven and hell.
Yeah.
Has Chris talked about people being tormented or tortured for being a bad person or anything like that?
What we've never addressed it, and I've never, of all the research I did, heard anybody coming through and say, "Well, once I got through purgatory, everything was fine." You know, I am told that when you get there, that there is a time of reflection where you reflect on everything that happened in your life, including the times that you've hurt people, and you kind of feel that and process it through it. But that everybody makes it across, you know, everybody makes it across. So I haven't heard anything about hell, so I'm kind of writing it off as no meat on Friday. You know, it's, I think it's, you know, so, you know, other people have their own feelings about that. But from what I've gotten, you know, they all go to that place. Now, there's different levels. And I don't know if there's more joy on one, level one from level two, but I do know there's different levels. I know a medium came to us, talked to us, a very well-known one, and talked about Sally's father, not stepfather, who's the kid's grandfather, but her father, and said that he's narcissistic, and he's very happy. He loved the upland game hunt, and he's hunting, doing that. That's his heaven. But he hasn't moved up from the bottom level, and he probably won't. He's probably going to stay there. But he seems happy as heck, you know, but he hasn't moved up. So, you know, I've kind of discounted or written off the whole hell thing. What he said about God is that they're all God. They're all part of that God energy. You know, he hasn't mentioned to me any you know, viewing or interview with God. You know, he hasn't, but he's told me that everybody's part of that God energy. So I'm assuming there is a master energy, higher power, that kind of calls the shots, and we're part of it. You're part of it. I'm part of it. You know, and up there, when it's all energy, it's even more so.
More of a higher consciousness over benevolent being type deal?
Yeah. More of a perfect energy that everybody's a piece of, right? Like waves are a piece of, you know, if you go stand on the, you know, Lake Michigan, you see these waves coming in. you know, God's the entire lake, and everybody, every piece is your soul. That's who you are. That's your energy.
Okay. Well, Joe, we are coming close to the end of the show, so I want to give you a chance to tell everybody where they can find you, find the book. The mic is all yours.
All right, thank you. The book is on Amazon.com. It's in print. It's in Kindle. It's in Audible. And the Audible, I was nervous. I listen to books all the time, Audible. And I don't get to choose. The actor and the guy was terrific. I love the inflections. He nailed it. So Audible's terrific. I'm in just outside of Chicago. I'm going to give you my email, which is jbmcquillen, MCQUILLEN @gmail. I have a website that mysearchforchristopher.com. Reach out. You got something to say, you need something, you want to walk through something. I mean, I'm happy to do it. That's kind of the road that I'm on right now. So I'm pointing in the right direction. So I'm happy to accommodate it and be a service, man.
Awesome. Well, Joe, thank you so much for being on Beyond Reason.
It's my pleasure being on, Justin. I'm glad we did it this time instead of the other.
All right, folks. That was Joe McQuillen, author of My Search for Christopher on the Other Side, an amazing story that I think everybody really needed to hear. I hope that you guys enjoyed the show. Make sure you're checking out mysearchforchristopher.com and check out the book as well. I will be leaving links in the show notes for you guys to find all of that. And that is about all I've got for you. So make sure you check out My Search for Christopher on the Other Side. Contact Joe if you have any questions or if you're missing a loved one. I'm sure he would love to get in contact with you. Also, make sure you check out beyondreason.net, where you can find all of my past episodes, the About Me. You can contact me straight from that website as well. And just make sure, like I said at the beginning, like, share, subscribe, no matter where you listen, as well as on social media. So until next week, folks, keep those minds open. This is Justin Cancellari signing off.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.